Good thing, because I already hit record. So
yeah, I just had a burp real quick. That's all that mattered.
Oh, nice.
I'm just kidding. But random sounds.
I want to let's talk about the basketball game last night. Even though people will be hearing this in a week and it'll be old news, but who cares?
Yeah, it's fine.
So I fell asleep in the first quarter. I woke up to find out everything else that happened, but.
Yeah.
What did you see?
So this is like the first game of like the whole series I was able to watch, like pretty much the whole thing from like start to finish, except for the shower break I took at halftime, which I missed like the first couple of minutes of the third quarter, but whatever. So long story short, like the first quarter, Bucks were like just destroying the Suns. Like I think it was like a 13-14 point lead at the end of the quarter. Like they almost doubled whatever the score the Suns had in the first quarter. It's like 30 to like 14 or something like that. So like a ridiculous amount.
Yikes.
Then the second quarter, the Suns came back and they brought down the deficit, and then they actually started leading before halftime by like a couple points. Third quarter, that's when like Giannis really kind of like took it up a notch.
Yeah.
And he started just driving for the basket. Like his usual play, driving for the basket and going for it. But the Suns just kept fouling him. So like he just kept doing it over and over, and you think the Suns would like, hey, don't foul Giannis because you're giving him extra points. And normally that wouldn't be a problem because Giannis doesn't make free points or free throws. He made like almost all of them like the entire game. Like I think it was like 17 for 19 free throws, which is like ridiculous. That's ridiculous for anybody. And the fact that he made, especially with his stats and free throws, that's like insane. So he was on a different level. Like, I think like his overall like point scoring was like 50 points.
Yeah, I saw that.
Like 5 blocks and like 14 assists, which is like ridiculous. So
just putting the team on his back.
When you look at the final score, like 112.
I think
he had literally half the points.
105 to 98, I think was the final.
Yeah, so like he literally had like half the damn points. So like that's insane. Like that's one thing I don't understand about basketball. Like you have one guy literally just like carry the team and still win. So
that happens in dodgeball.
I mean, dodgeball makes sense. You can end up by yourself and you can kind of ride that high. But like basketball is supposed to be like a team sport, and you have half the points. Not exactly team. It's literally just you.
Feeding the hot hand, man.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. I'm not going to knock it. If it works, go for it. But I just find it insane. And then, like, when you think about it, because, like, you know how, like, what's his face? Kareem Abdul-Jabbar or whatever? You know that, like, mythical, like, 100-point game he had?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I don't know how that would work in any, like, basketball game. Because, like, you wouldn't be able to sit down at any point. You'd be playing the entire game.
Yeah.
You'd have to hit an insane number of free throws or literally just, like, stand at the basket and just tap it in every time. Like I can't imagine, like, even if that game was like fake and he had like, I don't know, 80 points or whatever, like that's still a ridiculous number. Because like, didn't Kobe get like 80 points in a game once, or like 60 points?
I think
it's ridiculous thinking about like how that could possibly be like feasible. So like at that point, I mean, I knew Kobe the ball hog, but like
well,
any other guy could be insane.
It's not even just being a ball hog. You have to get passed to. The rest of your team's like, all right, you're going to carry us, and we're okay with it. You just get open somehow and make a bucket. We'll just keep feeding you.
Yeah. Like, I mean, if you're hot, you definitely got to go with the high end. But at the same time, it's just like, all right, I want a chance to make a play. And
yeah.
That boy is like, all right, what point do you know if you're not being selfish or you're being like, that's where like that fine line where it's like, okay, I'm feeling hot, but then it's like, okay, now I'm being selfish, I can just keep going, and then that could easily like derail yourself as well. But so it's an interesting tactic.
Well, I really liked that thing that you sent me, that interview of Giannis about his mindset going into a game. You want to touch on that a bit?
Yeah, I gotta remember the video. Hold on. So I think what I was talking about was how it touches on like some key concepts like ego, pride, and humility. He put it into like a past, present, and future type perspective. I really hope I don't mess up his words because it was actually pretty dope. But
I just watched it, so you're nailing it so far.
Okay, cool. All right. But in case I'm wrong, you can always fix it, or we can just like post the video. And share it or something, because it's a pretty good mental mindset to have. So I believe what he said was his, Okay. So hold on. Pride is when you look at your past. Okay. Because it's the list of accomplishments that you've had. Your pride is
ego.
Oh, no, that's the future, right? That's the future.
Yeah. Pride's right? Future. Yeah. Ego pride is the future. Past.
Ego is past. Okay. So I really wish we can just like have, I wish we had like the technical skills to have the video play in the background while we don't have to do any of that. So I don't have to butcher all of this.
Yeah. Like great. We could screen share it. That'd be awesome.
That would be awesome. Let's figure that out someday, because that'd be really dope to have.
Yeah. As well. What he was saying was like when you dwell on your past accomplishments, and you know, he was like, he said, you know, you go out and you score 25 points, 10 rebounds, 10 assists. Like reflecting on that is your ego telling you, you know, how good you are and that like you did so great. And then looking forward to like the next game, setting these expectations is your pride. So having these expectations for yourself that you're going to do great, that you're going to like basically put the team on your back, is your pride. And he tries not to look forward like that. What he tries to do is practice humility. And he said he's been doing this for, I think he said like years, and finally is like started to master it, where he can go out and be more in the moment and practice that humility of enjoying the game, you know, putting in hard work and, you know, not setting those expectations for himself to where he's not thinking about, you know, oh man, I need to go out and score 50 points, or I need to get this many steals or whatever. It's, I'm going to play hard. I'm going to do what I can to win the game. And that way, he's not focused too much on one particular thing, that all he's caring about is going out there, playing to the best of his abilities, and doing what he can to help his team win.
Yeah, and that the thing is, like, when you think about Giannis, like, he's my age. That's a very, like, what's the word? Old man mindset, like, is being able to, like, or like not even old man, but he's like veteran mindset, where like,
yeah,
you have the experience, you have the years, and you're like, okay, now that I'm like not a young buck anymore, like, all right, I can figure it. Well, ha, pun, anywho, not intentional.
See what you did there.
That was not intentional, but I love the fact that I did it. But yeah, like the fact that he's a young buck, and like most guys our age, even a little bit younger, like have that, like, hey, I got to do this. I got to do this. I got to do this.
More ego driven.
And they put all these expectations on themselves, and some of them can rise to challenge. Some of them can't, and they struggle with it, and they end up either overloading or blowing out in terms of performance.
Right.
And if you're able to kind of get in the mindset, like, okay, just be in the moment, figure out what you need to do, like be, I guess, a little bit more objective based in the moment versus like, I have this plan, and if it doesn't go according to plan, that's all gonna fail. So that's, it's impressive that Giannis is only 26 and he's figured that out now, and it's only gonna be scarier when he, because he's still young, so he's still got plenty more years in the NBA unless he gets hurt or something.
Hopefully, yeah, when did he
started, like 18, I think.
Yeah, in like 2014 or something like that.
2013 he got drafted, I think. So
2013.
Yeah, he made a massive, like, have you seen his rookie year pictures?
Yeah, I saw that, the, it, like, side by scary. Side he was, it's like scary. 100 and, I don't know if it was like 142 pounds or something, now he's, or no, he's like 180 something, now he's like, yeah, 240.
Too tall to be 140, yeah, to be able to play.
He was like, yeah, 186 or something, and now he's 240 something.
Yeah. And that's still pretty light
for someone his size.
Yeah, but say for someone, let's say, like 6'5", 6'6", probably taller. No,
I
know.
I think he's 6'11" or 7 foot.
Yeah, so like the fact that he's only 240, that's insane. And like the dude's jacked,
shredded.
So, I know. I'm a little jealous, to be honest. I'm just like, man, if I could be that tall, that shredded, that'd be dope. But yeah.
The one thing I'm super jealous of, and this just seems like it's like all basketball players, is they have delts, like they get their shoulders capped, and I do not have that ability. I, for whatever reasons, my shoulders just like flat.
I think it's because their arm, I think they're so lengthy that they have to have it that way, because like they lift up their arm, that's their entire deltoid. Because like you think of it, like physics wise, like levers, like
it's a long lever,
not, Yeah, and their arms are unnaturally long, so it's just like that's way more work for your deltoids. At that point, you have to have shredded deltoids, or else and your arms ain't gonna be doing it.
Shooting, it's all that overhead movement.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Man, I'm gonna play basketball for a couple of years and see if I can get some shoulder caps.
Grow up a little bit too. That'd be nice.
Yeah. Oh,
man. Like we're not even short. That's the sad part. Like basketball, you gotta be like freakishly tall, or else you like have less of a chance. Dumb, but.
I could get away with a roster height 6 foot.
Okay, isn't like Steph Curry like only like 6 feet, 6'2"? I think he's only like 6'2". He's not super tall.
I think he's still
tall compared to the world, but not tall enough in basketball, which is ridiculous though. But he's still amazing. So
yeah. Well, did you see all the like the old videos of him kind of like what do they call that, like where you kind of call out your goals and manifest your own destiny, like that kind of stuff?
Are we talking Giannis or Steph?
Giannis.
I want to say I saw it. I think it was like what, like a flashback where he was like, what type of player do you think you're gonna be in 5 years? I saw that video, but I don't know if it was.
It was like, I don't know if it was him playing in Greece, but it was like him at, I don't know, maybe he was 16 or something, but he was like,
yeah.
You know, I want to go to the NBA. I want to play in Spain, and I want to, you know, I thought that was kind of cool that,
yeah,
being that like where he came from, where like him and his brothers, it said like selling stuff on the street, like for food and stuff like that too, being discovered, playing basketball, and all three brothers making it to the NBA and all three having a ring now. That's wild.
That's crazy. And two of them are on the same team, which is like nuts. Like,
yeah,
that's like a relationship I strive for. You know, me and my brother don't get along that well, which would be kind of weird to have on us. I don't know, my brother on safety, he would drive me nuts. But like, but that's dope that like he's got like a pretty close knit family and that they're all like in the league. So yeah, I remember there's a video like Giannis said he was kind of jealous of one of his brothers getting the ring before he did, and he was just like, I'm sitting at the table, one of my brothers got a ring. And I don't. I'm kind of jealous.
The one plays for the Lakers, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that was pretty dope. But yeah, it's pretty cool.
Do you think he talked shit to his brother on the team?
Wait, which brother? The one on the team or the one that's not on the team?
The one on the team.
I doubt it. Because, like, when you see, well, I mean, probably because they're brothers, but, like, you kind of have to. But, like, when you see, like, the videos of him and his brother interacting each with each other, it's kind of hard to see it.
Yeah.
So, like, I could see it going both ways, but, like, probably not. Giannis seems, like, too cool of a dude to do that. Like, you see his Instagram live? Like, I didn't see the when he was live, but no, I saw videos of it later. He went to Chick-fil-A and was just like, yo, I want to get, like, a 50-piece for, like, the amount of points I got. and, like, he was just, like, going off on it. He was just like, yo, like, you're, I think he talked to, like, the cashier later. She's like, okay, we're on Instagram live. You got, like, 150,000 people, like, looking at you right now. Like, be prepared or whatever it was. It was a funny little video. He's like, he had the trophy, he stole the trophy, and he's in the drive-thru Chick-fil-A just like ordering stuff, and he's like, I stole it from the team's looking around for it, I have it, so it's fine. It was funny. Yeah, no, I love Giannis. The only reason I like the Milwaukee Bucks, otherwise I wouldn't care about the team at all, but yeah
that's so cool that it's not like LA or New York, it's a small market that gets to bring it home. Like, did you see where he said after? He's like, all right, I did it. Now I want to be traded.
Yep. I did see that.
I don't know if he's joking or not, but.
No, he's definitely kidding. But he said loyalty is in his DNA. So I don't see him switching the team at all. Because that's just, I don't see him as the person to switch when he wins a ring. Because then that would make him just like everyone else he said that he wouldn't be. So it's kind of hard to see him do that.
Fair enough.
Unless he went to a team that was trash and then he built them up, that'd be different. But then he'd just be like LeBron at that point. Just different.
Yeah. It's cool to see some loyalty like in the league where it's like all star hoppers and building super teams and shit like that. It's cool to see somebody that, you know, stick with the team he was drafted by and go get them a ring.
Yeah, but I know there's only like a handful of players that won rings and stuck with them their entire career, like Tim Duncan, Kobe Bryant. Those are the only two I can really think of. But there's like a handful of other ones. I think Dirk.
Yeah.
What's his face from like Texas?
Nowitzki.
Yeah, that's it.
I don't think I said it right, but yeah, from the
Mavericks. Some long lines of that. But yeah, him. And I think there's like a handful more. I know I saw a list somewhere recently, but those are only like the first three I could think of. But yeah, it's pretty dope. Like, I think dodgeball is, but also like be successful in that as well. If we can get that same mindset for dodgeball, be like, hey, instead of hopping on a super team or creating super teams, like stick to your teams and
closer.
Win a ring, or not a ring, but win a medal that way, because we don't have rings. We're not that fancy.
Yeah, but. And I think it brings, especially in dodgeball, it brings more opportunity to get people into the sport. Like the more teams you have, the more talent that's getting lifted up, the more people that, you know, get exposed to the sport. So
I would say later down the line, it would be okay, because at that point, we're like, we're professionals. So that way you want to grow, because there would only be a set number of teams at that point. Then it's like, okay, make the best team you can. So,
yeah.
And then like after a while, like once we get to like an established like competitive level, then making super teams would be really dumb again, because no one wants to see the same teams win every single time. So like, it's kind of like a phase thing where like you have like right now we're not in that phase where we need to make super teams because we want to grow the sport, but then as we grow and get to that competitive level, then we can make super teams just to make the teams better. Yeah. We'll have a cap at that point, and then no more super teams after that, and that'd be a good time to be at.
Yeah, it's like a growing phase.
Yeah.
Did you see that other thing on I found it on Instagram, but it was a study that PubMed did about a let me find this title here. It was a 16-week concurrent exercise program that was studied like along with a – so there's a group that exercised for 16 weeks and a group that got like therapy for 16 weeks. And the group that was exercising for 16 weeks, their – let me read this title so I don't get in trouble. So their – improvements in emotional well-being and emotional distress for middle-aged women improved better for the exercising group than it did for the therapy group.
Oh, I could have told you that without even knowing the study, because based on my job, and I work with 99% women, they all complain, like, okay, they'll having a bad day. They'll come in like, I'm having a not so good day. And I'm like, you're going to feel better after you work out, though. You're gonna feel like shit during the workout, but as soon as you leave, them endorphins kick in, you'll be in a good mood. And they're like, you're lying, it's gonna feel awful, I'm gonna hate this. And then they leave, and they're all super cheery and real peppy when they leave. And I'm like, I told you. And they're like, well, whatever. They roll their eyes and walk out. But yeah, I definitely agree with that, those results, because yeah, like seeing people like when they first start off in the gym, like they'll be in a good mood, like they're excited and everything, but seeing them as they're working out, even if they don't continue on with the gym, they're still in like a really good place, usually, assuming they have a good experience in the gym. Not everyone does, but most people that have a good experience at the gym and then actively participate, actively try, like try to improve themselves, they usually end up in a better place than they were before.
Yeah. And I think it has more to do than just with that, like the post workout endorphin rush. I think it has a lot more to do, like, because these were, let me double check this.
Say 16 weeks is like 4 months, so you'd see results of some kind after 4 months. So there's a lot of that as well.
Yeah. So it was, So emotional distress. I think exercise is a much better tool for building up self-reliance, your self-confidence, and allowing yourself to kind of, man, I don't know the right way to word this without getting myself in trouble, but it allows you to deal with stuff better. 'Cause like, you know, you go in and you put your body through a struggle, which is what resistance training or just exercising is you go put yourself through this struggle, and getting through that struggle for 16 weeks straight shows you that you can get through things, and it builds up that mental toughness like we've talked about several times.
Yep.
And as you're progressing more and more, like for four months, you can make some awesome gains, fat losses, like you can go pretty far. So add on top of that, that continue over and over building of your self-reliance, that those endorphin hits, like all that stuff, your confidence is also growing because you're more comfortable in your own skin, your self-esteem is going up. So I think it's very obviously some people do need therapy and that really works for them, but going to the gym is it's my therapy for sure. And if like, you know, good days, bad days, stressful days, you name it. Yeah. Gym helps all of them.
Yeah. But say, what we're not saying is that gym is a good replacement for therapy. That's not what we're saying. For some people that might do the trick, but we're not anti-therapy. Yeah. I mean, no, not even that. It's like not endorsing skipping therapy if you truly need it. If you need therapy, go get therapy. But for some people that may not need, I almost said the extremes of therapy, but that's not what I'm going with. But for some people that might not be a step that's in your, I guess, your line of sight. But for some people, it's more of just finding ways, coping mechanism. Coping mechanism. So finding ways to cope with the stress that you have or dealing with the emotions you have. Let's say, again, if you need a well thought out way to do it, therapy might be the best option for you. But gym allows you to kind of put everything you put all that stress that you have to the side, not really think about it, allows you to focus on another thing, take your mind off of it. And then when you come back to it, you're usually in a more positive mood. Again, partially because of the endorphins, but again, you still get that sense of confidence. You still get that sense of control over your life that you may not have dealing with whatever has been on your mind over time.
Right. And I think it's important to point out that they did do this study with women. And now I'm not going to generalize, but usually, so I guess I am kind of going to generalize, but usually women are the more emotional sex. So if they are emotionally distressed, like usually guys, you know, bury that shit. Like don't talk about it as much. So
yep.
I would think that exercise would help deal with that a lot as well. But also, I mean, I guess a guy could go either way on therapy. I obviously am not a therapist.
Now, not really a question for you. You wouldn't be able to answer this question, but like, I'll try to know. Yeah. but during this 16 weeks, were they working out on their own? Were they working out together? Were they, it's like a group class, single individual? Do you know that information?
I believe it was guided.
Okay.
The exercise group followed a 60-minute concurrent aerobic and resistance training 3 days a week for 16 weeks. While the counseling group attended conferences on healthy lifestyles, including diet and physical activities to adapt.
So it doesn't really say if it was like done in group sessions or single, or because like if it happened over the last year, then it's probably like Zoom, so not the same.
Right.
If it's before that, I mean, still, like, most likely some people probably did like video, they probably recorded things that had them do the recorded, depending on how the study's going. So I don't really know how they're doing it, but I know one thing that really does help, especially with emotional distress, is having a sense of community. Because I know that specifically from my gym, because I know a lot of the ladies that go to my gym, they are like best friends, or at least in the gym, they're best friends. Some of them are best friends outside the gym, some of them interact with each other outside the gym. So it's not like you go in, do your workout, leave, and don't talk to them again. They have that sense of community, whether they're friends, whether they're like sisters at that point, whether they're just like colleagues to like support each other, networking, like whatever it is. Like they all have the same sense of struggle because a lot of them have kids, especially over the last year. A lot of them got really close because they're all going through the same struggle of childcare. A lot of them going through the same struggle of dealing with stress at home or work or like whatever it is, like they have that sense of community. So that definitely is a great booster in terms of like emotional well-being, having people that you can relate to in the gym, working out with them, going through basically hell in the gym and come out stronger together through it. So it's I definitely would say that if they did the group exercise, that definitely would boost their results for sure.
Oh yeah, I would definitely 100% agree with that. That's like, no, this is going to be taking it to the extreme, but that's like what they talk about, like in the military, is like the band of brothers, like because they've all, you know, gone through boot camp, gone through, you know, these different tours of hell, and like that is like becomes like tighter than actual family because of this shared experience and like getting through that stuff together. Obviously much higher level of struggle and that, but then when they come back, that's when they're depressed because they don't have, you know, that group that they're getting the next objective done. So like that's that struggle together in a class definitely would have added on top of that if it was a group thing. I wonder when this I didn't even look and see when this study was actually done, but I guess it was published in March. So that was like, it was published just before COVID started. This was March 11th, 2021. Oh no, COVID was already in full swing. I'm thinking 2020. So this was.
Well, I know sometimes published material takes a while for it to get released. So
that's true.
So it could have been longer, could have been shorter. So it's kind of like a toss up in terms of either or.
Yeah, I just found it interesting that, you know, not only it was something that somebody decided to study, but especially in like the climate we're in right now with emotional health and mental health being such a big priority, how somebody's going to, I wouldn't even say that it's rejected or that it's like contested, but just that there are different strokes for different folks.
That could go so wrong so easily.
I don't know why it popped in my head, but it sounded like a good thing to say.
It's the damn word. Like, it's the word itself where your brain all instantly goes the wrong way every time. If anything, it might just be me, but I'm a child. That's all I'm going to say. And the fact that it rhymed made it worse, but okay.
I liked it. You want to talk about what we kind of started talking about before we were recording about the cooling and the sports performance stuff?
The what?
Well, when I started talking about Andrew Huberman from Stanford, the neuroscientist. Yeah. So didn't really do my homework on this one. Just a disclaimer for everybody out there listening.
I'm going to look up while you're talking then.
Me and Caleb. So Andrew Huberman, a PhD neuroscientist professor at Stanford, super big into like performance, human optimization studies, all that stuff. I mean, he works with the brain, so he's trying to do everything. He has a colleague, and I believe he's in the dermatology department, because he was talking about how a lot of the heat that like you lose from your body comes from the palms of your hands and the bottoms of your feet, because it's like this special kind of it's like a different kind of skin cell or something. And he did the study with the 49ers football team, where they would do an exercise and then they would have them cool off like those parts of your body, like the palms of your hands or the bottoms of your feet, like cool those off, and how it would rapidly like drop your body temperature. And he related it to like when you're in bed, what do you want to pull out from the covers if you're starting to get hot? You go to, you stick your feet out or your hands out, like that. That's the first thing you go to, which I've never thought of until he made it a point. But it allowed these football players to like almost go like 150% more than what they did. So I think they were doing dips is what they were doing. And like they did a couple sets of like 40. And then even after that, they do that quick cool down and then were able to do like 60. When you get heated up and your muscles start to heat, obviously when you use them, they heat up because they're burning glycogen, trying to turn over ADP into ATP. So once your body hits or your muscles hit a certain temperature, you can't actually convert ADP into ATP. which is the diphosphate into the triphosphate, because you burn that third phosphate, and that's what allows your muscles to contract and the whole energy system, which I don't want to go into.
Yeah.
So I thought that would be a super, obviously it'd be an easy thing to test. And if it was something that you implemented into your workout or like into something like dodgeball, where don't do this, but if you brought like a bucket of cold water, stuck your feet in it, your hands in it, how much quicker you would recover to go to that next game. Or, I mean, I don't know if you could do it because you work out at like an actual gym, but like if I had in my garage just a small tub of water, did like bench press to failure, stuck my hands in there, then with like minimal rest to see how many I could do like again. Yeah. That is super interesting to me.
I kind of want to try it, but I have like really bad circulation in both my feet and my hands. It turns to like, my feet and my hands are always cold. So like, if I do that, that's going to burn in like the worst way. So like, I want to try it, but like only if it's like already hot out, then I'll do it. So it kind of depends, but it is definitely an interesting thought, because it, in theory, it makes sense. Cause I know like there is a study about like the best way to fall asleep, and it's like the best way to fall asleep is with your socks on, because it helps regulate your body heat. Even though to me that sounds like torture, because
yeah, those are feet prisons.
Yeah, it just feels like there's just too much friction for me. Like it's the whole like rubbing against the sheets, like just feels wrong. It feels like sandpaper, even though it doesn't. But it's just like, if I want to move my foot, I want to be able to slide, not have that like that rough like friction going between the sheets. And just, like, in fact, they get tangled up a lot faster or easier because of that. I'm like, I don't know. So, yeah. But there, it is proven that like sleeping with socks on gives you better sleep, because it helps regulate your body temperature better. But it makes no sense. I feel like I would get way hotter and way faster, so I don't know how that works.
Yeah, and I am a very, like, I run hot always, and I'm always sweating, so like, I'm a person that hates socks, so that makes a ton of sense.
Yep. So, see, the first thing I do when I come home, take off my shoes, take off my socks, and I'm like, ah, it feels so good.
Yep. Or on like on a hot day, when you step into like, doesn't even have to be like wet grass, but it just like feels colder, and it's like one of the best feelings that you can have. It's just like that, yep. A little bit chillier than the air, grass, yep. Or dirt, mm-hmm. And bare feet. Whew.
Was that laid down in that? Best feeling ever. Like I think it was after a morning practice, and like we were just like running outside for track, and it was awful. And the first idea was lay in the grass. It was still kind of dewy out because like it's early, and I'm just like, if I wasn't dying, this would feel so much better. But because I was like so dead, like I barely noticed it. But like looking back on it, I was like, that was the coldest grass I've ever laid on. It felt amazing. So yeah.
So I think I'm gonna try that out and just see what happens. Maybe I'll do it this weekend when I don't
have to.
Yeah,
I feel like it's a lot. I feel like it seems simple in like theory, but like it feels like it's a lot of work, because like you'd have to get an ice bucket, make sure it's like filled up with water, and then like how long would you like dip your hands in there for? Like 10 seconds, 30 seconds? Like,
I don't, try to do something where it's, I mean, I would time yourself and then mm-hmm. try to repeat it and then see how it works. And then yeah. if that doesn't feel like it was effective enough, try a little bit longer. So like 10 seconds, yeah. 20 seconds, 30 seconds, see if yeah. you can find like where the ceiling is and, or what's optimal or whatever, yeah. where you don't see those returns. I mean, mm-hmm. obviously you can't do like 10 sets where you're going to failure, because yeah. then you're just going to be diminishing anyway.
Yeah. So like, I feel like you'd have to do this like over a period, like a couple different days where like different workouts, be like, okay, let's try 10 seconds today, see how it goes. Next day, like 20 seconds or 30 seconds or whatever. Cause I feel like if you're going for minimal rest, it shouldn't be more than like 30 seconds, because anything more than that is kind of
hitting defeating the purpose.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So,
but yeah, I just thought it was interesting. And if it does end up being something that's, I mean, obviously it worked because the study showed it, but if mm-hmm. how could you implement that into a dodgeball game? Like, you know, like those chamois cloths, if you just keep cold water in those, you know, put it in
your microfiber towels, or the
I don't know what they are. That's like that towels that hold cold water, or like the cooling towels, that kind
yeah,
of stuff.
Yeah, I think it's the microfiber ones. Yeah.
Yeah. Where like you can keep that cool, put it on your hands. If you have time, you know, put it on your feet, whatever, to see if that helps you recover that much faster to get into the next game.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'll test it out. I'll report back. See what I feel. See if it's something that you could try to implement. But okay. Yeah. What were we talking about with the different leagues starting to get back up and going? And I know I saw the Cactus Dodgeball League.
Yep.
Are they officially started back up, or when do they start back up?
I think they start in August, I think. Or I think either this week or August, I think. But I didn't really pay attention to the date. I was more watching the TikTok video and being really jealous the whole time because like I've heard so many good things about Cactus Dodgeball that I just want to play there at least once just to like know what it's like. But that won't happen because we're way out here and they're way over there.
Yeah, both I think Justin and Ketchum were like, come out and play. Well, you stay with them and just go out and play. So might have to take them up on that.
100%. So yeah, because I do plan on making a trip out there at least once. So like whenever I figure that out. So yeah, let's do it. If we ever do it, let's do it together. So that way we can like do a ball out thing for it out there in Southland.
That'd be fun to do a ball out live from Arizona.
Yeah. Let's do it. I don't think it's that expensive to fly out to Arizona. I'm going to look it up right now. I'm hoping it's not.
I wouldn't think so. What else were we talking about for the FDC? Isn't that what Foam Dodgeball Championship? You said that they were maxed out at teams. What else was it?
So I believe the last time I checked, the last update they had was it was 30 teams that they capped it at, and it capped like as soon as they made that announcement, they were like, I think it was like a couple hours later, like, yeah, we're full now. they were already at like I think 20 teams when they said that, and then they added a couple more. What's it called? I don't know if it's from the lack of them being really specific on how it works. I don't know if it's 30 total teams between men's and women's, or if it's 30 men's teams. And, 30 per division. It's kind of hard to see 30 women's teams because I don't even know if there's that many in the U.S., but it'd be pretty dope if there is. And that's just me being ignorant. So if I'm wrong, I severely apologize.
Everybody call them out.
Please do. I like the attention. It's 30 teams, whether it's per division or 30 total, it's a lot of people that'll be there. And I know from the list of teams that are there, or at least signed up, it's going to be a lot of pretty good teams. If you want me to go through the list, like the big names, I can find the list real quick.
Just if you don't know who's going to be there, go to the Facebook invite or go to the Facebook event page. Check it out. I believe it's November 13th in Dallas. Shout out to Tom for calling us out that we said Houston, not Dallas. I want to get back in touch with him because I would like to do something with them and with FDC. I think that'd be a lot of fun. I've never seen a big foam tournament, so I would love to see how much different it is than a rubber tournament.
I've only been to the what's it called? The Minnesota tournament, the Twin Cities Throwdown. And that's probably one of the bigger, bigger foam tournaments out in the U.S.
Yeah.
Besides the USA tournaments and a couple other ones on the West Coast. And it's a lot of fun. Let's say you've never played foam, have you?
I mean, I played foam, I think, twice. I played it at
like a competitive tournament or outside, I'm talking about outside of Grand Rapids when.
Oh, then no, never.
North tournament don't count. Outside of Minnesota, they don't count.
When the North pretends to play foam, no.
Yeah, no, I'm not counting Grand Rapids. Like, sure, there's like a handful, like maybe one or two teams that are like decent, but like no, because I think most of the time we're playing with like 7-inch balls and like one. No, we're playing with mostly 8.5-inch balls with like some 7-inch. So like, no, I'm not counting that tournament.
No, I think they were all 7 because they were all smaller.
That was the last one, but see, that was like 4 years ago. So that one doesn't count.
Well, what was the one that was in the like? Were you at the one where it was like inside of like a roller hockey rink?
Yeah, I was at that one. That one was, I think it was like half. I think it was like 4 8.25 sizes, and then like one or two 7-inch ones. So like it was a hybrid.
And then
so that's why I don't count them.
There was the year after that I thought was all seven.
That one might have been all seven, but they were really, really, really shitty ones.
I also didn't really play too much in that one. I played with Dynasty in Pinch, and then was like, you guys got this in Foam.
Yeah, I remember you playing. I think that was like the first time I really got to know who you were, and I was like, yeah, this guy's crazy.
That checks out.
Yeah. But yeah, so like outside of like Minnesota, the Throwdown, I don't really count any North Foam tournaments to count That's as fair. Foam because... No, I mean, actually, full of as the North, we don't play Foam, and it sucks. I hate it. I hate it here. I need to move.
Dude, I want to, sorry to cut you off there, but I want to give this a shout out. Not sponsored by this, but this Focus Aid. I got it for $1 at Vitamin Shop. And, you know, we record these. What time is it now? It's 9:25 here p.m. my time and 8:25 your time. Usually by the end of these, I'm starting to like get a little bit tired. I mean, 'cause I've been up since like 5 o'clock in the morning. Usually I'm starting to get a little tired. Usually I'm starting to like lose my train of thought a little bit more, but man, I feel on it. And
wait, well, what's the product again?
It's so, you know, the company Fit Aid, it's their like Focus Aid.
Okay.
It's yeah.
Is it like an energy drink or is it like a vitamin supplement drink?
It's a little bit of both. It says clean energy on it. It's got a lot of your vitamin Bs, your B6s, your B12, some biotin, thiamine, some riboflavin, vitamin C, vitamin D. And then they have a proprietary blend. It's got a bunch of different stuff in it, but like rhodiola, it's got green tea in it. So like a little bit of caffeine, but
okay, this sounds like pretty good stuff, but I'm trying to avoid like drinking anything out of cans anymore because I barely ever read the labels. Well, no, it's not the can itself. It's what's inside the can.
Fair enough.
The way you said it. But yeah, like, I very rarely pay attention to what I buy. So I'm like, okay, if I restrict what I'm buying things in, I'm more likely to be more aware of what I'm eating versus just like, because if I buy it a can, I'm probably, especially if it's an energy drink, I'm almost always going with a Monster, and I know how bad those are, but like it tastes good. So I'm like, screw it. Why not?
Yeah. It didn't taste very good. I'll openly admit that it did not taste that great. It tasted like I was drinking vitamins.
I mean, that's what's it called? Those electrolyte packet thingies, like in my brain, whenever I get those, my brain goes lemonade. This is gonna take like lemonade.
The liquid IVs,
not that brand, but like a different brand similar to that, where it's the same principle to give you like a packet of IVs.
Yeah.
So like it said lemon flavor, so my brain said lemonade. So I drank a full gulp expecting lemonade, and it just tastes like battery acid. I was like, oh god.
Yeah. So, this flavor was melon mate. But the E's got the little tilde on it, so I don't know how you're supposed to pronounce that. Mate, whatever. It tasted not great, but man, I feel on it. This is one of those episodes we should have went deep onto something, or I'm just gonna go get more. They were at Vitamin Shop. I went in there to buy like a Monster or something, like a Quest bar on my lunch hour at work, and the lady was like, everything on that table is $1. I was like, why not give it a shot?
At that point it's worth the bet, unless it's like trash and it's like, nah, I wasted $1. Yeah. But then he's like, it's only $1.
Sold me, lady.
That's fantastic upselling skills. I'll give her that. But yeah, like I don't know how people do that. Like if it's a new product, I very rarely will try it out. I'm just like, I'll stick to what I know and I'll make just go for that. Unless I really need to try something new, then I'll do it. But most of the time, it's just like, unless I know exactly what I'm getting, there's no way I'm going off of like my usual route. I'm very predictable tied to that. So it's hard to try new products out. But
again, I wish we were sponsored by them. We're not. But Fit Aid, Focus Aid, if you guys want to, let me know. Because I'm on board.
Okay, let's go. I'm down. I'll take any sponsor at this point. Like, whatever it is, love is like somewhat relative to our goals, down for it.
Last week we didn't get to answering Alex's question that he sent to us on Instagram. about how to train to be the best dodgeball athlete.
I feel like we've had episodes on this. So.
We have. Okay. But I mean, dude, we're 83 episodes in now. Well, this is the 83rd episode. I was actually thinking about that like the other day, how we did like the like intros to me and you at like 17 and 18, I think it was, or 16 and 17 in there.
Yeah.
And that was like 60 episodes ago. It was almost 70 episodes ago. Yeah. We might have to bring those back around, that now that people have like listened to us for, we do these like an hour at a time. So like 83 hours worth of time, and like got to know us as people a little bit more. Like I don't know, everybody out there, let us know if that's something that you guys would be interested in. 'Cause I know me personally, and you definitely have too, have gotten a lot better at not only being an interviewer, but being a host and being able to dive a little bit deeper onto things. And I think it'd be cool to kind of revisit that. But
yeah, people... I know I'm definitely way more open about talking, because before I was just like, Rick, Dave, I'm going to let Brett do most of the talking. He seems comfortable doing this, but now I'm more open to it.
Yeah, so I think that'd be cool to revisit. But do you want to touch on that for Alex really quick? Because, I mean, I kind of have like an overall answer, but I want to hear your thoughts on it first.
Okay, so there's so many routes you can go with this. So, like, I think it really comes down to what your definition of, like, what's the wording on his question? How to be the greatest dodgeball ever?
How to train to be the best dodgeball player. I don't remember if he's, I wonder if it's still on there. How to be the best dodgeball player around. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it really depends on a couple factors. Like, one, I think it depends on what your definition of a dodgeball player is. And then two, what's your style of dodgeball? And I don't mean like what ball type you play, but like how you play as a player. And three, and I think it kind of depends on your position as well, because those three different questions can give someone very different answers. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you want to break it down to dodgeball, the sport as a whole, then yeah, you want to be agile, so you'd be training agility. You want to be quick. You want to be explosive. You want to be powerful. Okay. You also want to be able to throw accurately. You want to be able to throw a lot of power. You got to be smart. You got to be, there's a whole long list of things you should really be incorporating into your training. But to keep it real simple and brief for this question, I'll just break down the three things: agility, okay, reaction time, and then power. Okay, actually, let me take back reaction time, because you can learn on that on your own. But agility, explosive power, and endurance. And the endurance is kind of like a hit and miss, because if you play like 8.5 open, you really don't need that much endurance unless you get stuck in a one-on-one situation often. Then yeah, you want your endurance to go up. But if you're playing either cloth style, or if you're playing foam style, those are two games that are either really fast paced or really long, and you'll have to play either multiple games back to back. Or cloth, I know it's a lot of back and forth, so if you don't have endurance, even if it's in a short game, if you don't have endurance for it, you're gonna get burned out pretty quickly. So I would say those are kind of the three things that you'll kind of have to work for. And then again, we could go down a whole another episode just talking about how we could be the greatest dodgeball athletes based on the category that we gave.
Yeah. Yeah. And actually, I added that to his question. It was just how to be the best dodgeball player in the world, in your opinion. And and I think that obviously, yes, all of those things are very important, but the mental aspect, which, you know, we've talked about how, you know, you need to train that mental, and kind of like how we touched in the beginning of this episode, like, don't set the bar too high for yourself, because that gets you focused not on the game. You know, practice that humility, be in the moment, just, you know, try to give it everything you have. I think your dodgeball IQ is very important. I'm somebody that, you know, I know the game, but I wouldn't consider myself somebody that has a very high dodgeball IQ, where like I understand the game and I understand a lot of aspects of the game, but there's people that, you know, they know every single player across the court from them. They know exactly how they play. And that's just something I don't have. I don't, and I kind of do it purposefully. I don't like, you know, trying to predict what the other players are going to try to do based on what they've done in the past. I like to play more of a fluid. I like to play more in the moment, and I like to play more reactionary versus trying to predict. And I don't know if that helps me or hurts me, but I think being able to know the game, to have very good team chemistry with your team, and have having a built up confidence in your gameplay, I think that that's going to really accelerate your learning curve. Playing to your strengths, and that alone, I think, can help accelerate your game. But I will say that there is a lot to be said for doing the things you suck at. And if you
touch on that, but
if you want to be a great all around player, like whether it's in dodgeball or it's in your fitness journey, you have to do the things that you suck at. And that's how you're going to get further and get better, because you're, what do they say? You're only as strong as your weakest link. So if there's something that can be exposed in your game, those people that I was talking about that know everything about everybody on this side of the court, they will expose it and do everything they can to expose it. So if it's harder and harder to find those things to expose, you are that much better by default.
Yeah. And I'll get to touch on that, like definitely like the weakness aspect, because if you know you have weaknesses and you put it off, delay it, don't work on it, that's only gonna be holding you back. And I know when trying out for Team USA, they really touched on they don't care if you have the strongest arm. They don't care if you're the fastest player. They don't care if you're the most elusive value. They don't care if you're like the best at one specific thing. They want well-rounded. And that didn't really only extend to physical attributes. That extended to the IQ. That extended how well you work with your teammates. That works as well as how you are off the court, okay? How you interact with people off the court. How you work interact on the court. Are you a leader? Are you a great all-round player? Keep you put in any position? Like all these little things that add up to one big thing. And you want to make sure that big thing is well-rounded, okay? You don't want to have holes in your I guess your resume in terms of as a player, because you want to make sure to, if you're thrown in a situation, can you be optimal in that situation? Whether you're playing corner, whether you're playing middle, whether you're playing support player, whether you're playing not alpha, but the ace on your team, whatever it is, like, you got to be able to do.
The shirt was throwing you off.
I realized that. I'm like, where the hell did I get alpha from? I'm like, that's not the word. And I'm like, subliminal. That's subconscious reading, man.
Yeah.
But yes, damn, now I'm stuck on that. But yeah, whether you're on the ace of your team, like you want to be able to excel regardless of, what situation you're in. So that's kind of the whole point. Like that's really the best way to become the best dodgeball player you can be is putting yourself in situations where, okay, maybe I'm not the best leader. Maybe I can work on that. So put yourself on a team, maybe like a social rec team. It doesn't have to be a super competitive team, but a rec team where you learn how to develop leadership skills. Maybe you suck at agility. Go for runs. Train yourself. Right? Go for high-intensity workouts. Those will push your endurance levels up. Like there's so many different things that you can kind of figure out what your weaknesses are. And if you either are too oblivious to what your own weaknesses are or you don't know genuinely, ask other players. Other players will gladly tell you what your weaknesses are.
Right.
Because they know how to exploit them half the time. So it's like, hey, you got to work on maybe working on your blocking skills. Maybe you got to work on maybe not being so obvious when you dodge. Or I don't know. It's a lot of different things that people will tell you. And that's one thing I like about the dodgeball community. It's not like they're like, oh, I'm not going to tell you your weakness because then I can't exploit it anymore. None of them are like that. So it's nice to have that.
Yeah. And that was one thing that when, you know, I was at Central, I really harped on in practice was like, this is the time to work on those things. Like you're not a great catcher. You have 3 hours twice a week to get better at catching. And if I don't see you trying to get better at catching, I'm probably not going to put you in the starting lineup. Like those are the times. And like you said, if you're, even if you join a rec league and you don't have the opportunity or the whatever mm-hmm. to go to dodgeball all of the time. Those are things that, you know, you should be working on, whether it's just in warming up or in drop-in dodgeball where it isn't as serious. If, you know, those are things you want to improve on, those are the things that you need to seek out and make sure that you shore up.
Yes, I definitely agree with that. I know I've had teammates in the past or current teammates, whichever, that struggle with that. And it's definitely something like, if you're going to talk all this, I'm not calling anyone out right now. You like just lit up with that.
But do it.
If you're gonna, no. But like, if you're going to talk like, hey, I want to be the best player. I want to be the best teammate. I want to be the best team. We want to be the greatest. Like, mm-hmm. you got to back that up with the work. You can't just say it and not do any of the work to get to that goal. You have to work. So like, you got to put in the work, whether it's working out, whether it's getting better at skills, whether it's learning how the game functions. Maybe it's learning, I don't know. There's so many different things you could work on, depending on what your weaknesses are. But you got to make sure,
yeah.
you got to back up what you're saying. You can't just say it and expect things to happen.
Speaking of that, I just want to touch on this real quick, and then we can get out of here. Have you felt, since we've started this, have you felt added pressure to show up on the court?
A little bit.
Dude, same.
It's awful. Like, as soon as we started working out, and like, I think it was it was on Steve Damon's podcast. I think it was like for like a North recap or whatever. Mm-hmm. And like, or no, it was for the hypothetical tournament for the North. And Michael Riley was like posting comments like, you look a beefy man. I'm like, thank you. The shirt lies, but thank you. And I'm just like, like, I'm feeling so much more pressure to be like super in shape, even though like even though I say I'm not, people are like, dude, you shut up. You're fine. I'm like, I know, but like, I know where I could be and I'm not there. And it's because of this podcast, I feel like I need to be there all the time. And it's like,
this podcast is giving you body dysmorphia.
Yeah, it's just a little bit. Like, I've like low key always had that, but like now it's more like apparent when I have it. Yeah. I'm just like, I don't care, but at the same time, I do care. So like, every time whenever I throw in a frozen pizza, and I'm like, I could do better. But I really love this frozen pizza. It's awful.
Yeah, it's and I mean, obviously we have the credentials and we have the like the knowledge base to back all of this stuff up, but it's like that like imposter syndrome, like creeping up, like your spine, like shit, mm-hmm. like I have to be on my game at all times. Somebody's gonna call me out, like, dude, yep. you don't even work out, fat ass. Like, yep. I'm like, no, I do. I swear, I know a lot about it.
Yeah. See, the first time I ever got that, I think it was at my first job in LA Fitness, where like I just hated working there. Like, it was just because I think a part of it was like the hours I was working, because like, it was my first training job at a new place. So
yeah.
for people that don't know how like personal training works, when you first start out at either a new place or a new first job, you take whatever clients you can get. And what that means, if you got like a client at 6
in between
your next
cleaning machines.
Yep. That, well, I think luckily I didn't have to clean any machine, but with like, let's say I have a client at 6 a.m. The next one might not be till 8. The next one might not be till 1. Uh-huh. And then like 2, 3. Or like, it's spread out throughout the whole day. So I'm working like 12 hours, but only getting paid for like 5 of them. So like, it was just trash. So I started to get really annoyed with that. Or clients would cancel, or they wouldn't show up. Or it was like a whole bunch of that. So I was getting real fed up with it. And so I stopped working out because I got tired of being at the gym all day. And then the last thing I wanted to do is work out again. I'm just like, screw this. So I would just sit at the desk and just hang out for months. Didn't really realize I was like packing on weight until like I put on a shirt one day, and it was like a kind of a tight shirt. And I was like, I don't remember this being so tight. Like, damn. And I didn't give a shit for a while. So I didn't really care. I'm like, you know what, whatever, just suck in the gut. Like, it'll look good if I can suck it in, hold it all day. Wasn't really that big of a problem until like I realized like it's getting to a point where I can't really suck it in no more because it's a medium shirt. And like, my arms make it look like I'm buff, but like, because everything's a little bit packed in a little bit more, like I had to like puff up the chest to make sure it's even. So I'm just like, this ain't worth it, man. Like, just lose the damn weight. Like, it's not worth doing this like 24 hours. So I think that's like where it really started. And then like I got to the point where, okay, I don't have to worry about it no more. And then this podcast just kicked that back into gear, and I'm like, god damn it. But I just thought
it was interesting that, you know, we haven't talked about it before, but like that was something definitely like, and like, mm-hmm. obviously when we played in Lansing, it was our first tournament back. So like it felt like less pressure, but like when next season rolls around, I'm not going to feel the real pressure to be like,
yeah,
oh, I got to win. Like,
yep.
I don't know, league MVP or like stuff like that. Just so I can show everybody that what we're saying is legit. And I know that's like that. That's more like that ego talking, but it does come up sometimes.
Where I'm glad I'm not the only one. And like, actually, I had a little bit of that happen in the Spooky Nook tournament when I went to it. Uh-huh. Like, I forgot people listened to our episode, like our podcast. I wasn't going to be one to like
come nobody listens. Talk to me about it.
Yeah, like a couple of people were definitely, hey man, I listened to a couple episodes, like I think you're doing great. I was like, oh shit, I forget people listen to this. I was like, fuck, now I gotta do really good. Otherwise it's gonna be like talking shit. And I was like, damn. So like I think I did well at that tournament, but it was just like, damn, I completely forgot where I'm outside the north, so people actually listen to this too. So I was like, damn. So I gotta show up.
Especially being like invited to a team and not like your normal team that you play with where you know you're hot and cold, but if it's like, oh, we sought you out and want you to come play with us.
Yep. Like, luckily, that tournament, it was my old team, so I didn't have to, like, do anything to impress. Like, all I do is, the problem is, if anything, I overcompensated because I thought I had to do real hot shit and ended up doing really bad because of that. But luckily, with my old team, so, like, they knew I have, like, the ability to kind of, like, bounce back from that. But the Texas tournament, now that you mentioned that, I did get recruited for that one, and now I'm nervous that you bring it up. So, we'll see.
You just got to use that Giannis mentality, man. Just go out there, have fun, play hard dodgeball.
That's all I ever do. It's always in good fun. If I get a couple headshots, then I know I'm on a good day. So,
I think that's a good spot to end on. Do you have anything else you want to bring up?
Nope. I didn't even realize that an hour went by, but sweet. No,
that was a fun one. Make sure you're following us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. I don't know if Casey's. I see him all day at work. Caleb's posted anymore on YouTube. I haven't checked it out, but go check that out. Go check out Nagini brand finger wraps or the buddies and the singles. I know I've gotten a couple pictures of people purchasing them ready for some dodgeball, so make sure you use Ball Out 15, save some money on that. That's all I got.
That's all I got, man.
Cool. I'm good if you're good.
I'm good, man.
All right. Then we out.
Peace out.